Uvla, we'll call this meeting of the House Resources Committee to order. Let the record reflect the time is now 1:21 p.m. Monday, May 17th, 2021. Developing a quorum, we have with us Representative McKay, Representative Fields, Representative Cronk, Vice Chair Hopkins, Representative Schrage, Representative Gillum, Representative Hannon. Joining us momentarily should be Representative Rauscher. I'd like to say thank you to our recording secretary, Robin, and our LIO moderator, Alex. Remind folks to please silence your cell phones, put them up on a notepad. I'd like to recognize Senator Von Imhoff and her staff, Ms. Lucky. They're here to help carry the legislation that we have before us, which is Senate Bill 134. This is our first hearing on that bill, and it's in regards to Master Guide Outfitter requirements. That's the only thing that we have on today's agenda. Senator and Ms. Lucky, if you could please come to the table and give us a rundown of what Senate Bill 134 does. Please put your name on the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. This is Senator Natasha Von Imhoff, and I really appreciate all of you seeing this bill today. It's an important bill for the hunters of Alaska, and with the hunting season underway, it's good to try to get this through sooner rather than later. So the story does start back in 2019. The legislature extended the Big Game Commercial Services Board with Senate Bill 43. During the course of this simple board extension, we heard frustration regarding the board's disciplinary actions taking too long, especially for master guides. We tried to fix it at the time by requiring the board to revoke a master guide license after a court conviction for violating laws pertaining to that profession. Unfortunately, we learned later there were unintended consequences due to different interpretations of the wording of the bill. And for example, the current interpretation by the board's attorney is that the board must revoke for any violation, no matter how small, like a paper violation. SB 134 clarifies the language to make it work as intended, which is to ensure people convicted of more serious violations of professional rules cannot continue to call themselves master guides. Senate Bill 134 limits the shall revoke to only serious violations, defined as where a master guide has been convicted in a court and was sentenced to more than a day in jail or a fine of more than $1,500. These are the type of cases that where the board had previously revoked licenses after due process, which sometimes could take over a year. Senate Bill 134 just speeds up the process when a court has already found a person guilty and imposed a sentence. A master guide license does not give any additional hunting rights. It is an honorary designation given to registered guides who have demonstrated excellence over a long history in their profession. If a person loses a master guide designation, they could still keep their registered guide license and therefore continue to work in their profession. The retroactive effective date goes back to when the faulty language was put into place to provide consistency and encourage self-reporting and resolution of any small violations. As far as we know, there have not been any licenses revoked or issued since that date, so the department and our lawyers don't see any problem with the retroactivity at this time. With the hunting season underway, it is important to get this issue addressed soon. The issue is causing tension between enforcement and guides, and it is a disincentive for guides to come clean about small violations. So that is the bill in front of you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator Von Imhoff. Before we go into public testimony, are there any initial questions from committee members?
After public testimony.
Thank you. With that, we'll enter into public testimony on Senate Bill 134. Public testimony for Senate Bill 134 is now open. Alex, can you clarify nobody's online for public testimony? Thank you very much. Public testimony on SB 134 is now closed. Back to the original discussion. Just for committee members' understanding, we do have the Executive Director of Big Game Commercial Services Board online, Renee Hofford, along with the Division of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing. Committee members, questions, concerns? Representative Schrage.
Yeah, thank you through the chair for the bill sponsor. So I'm just noticing here on page 2, line 6, in order to receive the master guide designation, they have to have no imprisonment or unsuspended fine of more than 1,500 in the last 5 years, down from 15. And I'm just wondering if you could speak to why 5 years instead of 15? That seems like a large change. I know it's just an honorary title, but I think it also carries with it a lot of weight and prestige. And I'm just curious about going down to 5.
And Mr. Chairman, Representative Shragi, for the record, my name is Julie Lucky. I am staffed as Senator Von Imhoff. And as I was into the details of the bill, I could take that question. The one thing I will point out is that the recommendations in the bill came directly from the board's deliberations. So that change from 15 to 5 years might be better addressed by the board staff that is on hand. However, the one thing I would like to point out is that subsection 4, in addition to the language in section 2, was not put in place until Senate Bill 43 passed in 2019. So that look back period was part of the initial faulty language, and therefore when the board went down its process to conform the faulty language to existing statute, they found that the existing statute for registered guide look backs was 5 years, and they conformed it to that 5 years. So basically the 15-year look back has not been used because no licenses were issued during that time between when Senate Bill 43 went into effect. But if there are more details on why they chose to make that time period shorter, that might be a better question for Ms. Hofford, who I believe is online.
Please.
Thank you, Representative Shragi and Ms. Lucky, and I think I got ahead of myself, didn't give you the opportunity to present further in detail maybe the sectional analysis of the bill. So feel free, Ms. Lucky, if you'd like to.
All right, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, it is a fairly short bill. It's a little easier to read the sections backwards, but that's not how the statutory construction works. So Section 1 is actually a conforming section, and Section 1 deals with eligibility for master guides. So it conforms to the revocation statute because it doesn't make any sense to allow someone to be eligible for a license that you would just revoke the next day. Section 2 is the shall revoke language, and this was the language that was put in by Senate Bill 43 based on frustrations with the time that disciplinary actions were taken. And you'll see there that it says the board shall revoke the master guide outfitter of a license, and under Section 2, here's the problematic language where it says who is convicted of a violation. At the time we put this language in, all of the attorneys agreed that conviction of a violation would mean convicted in a court of law. This was the part that was reinterpreted. So you'll see the additional language we are adding here on page 2, lines 24 and 25, which limits the revocations to a crime in which a person is imprisoned for more than one day or an unsuspended fine of more than $1,500 is imposed. So that, in conjunction with the conviction of a violation language on line 21, means that would be conviction after, it would be a conviction in a court of law of those higher crimes. So this would not, there was a concern that this might include jail time before somebody was found guilty, and that would not. And I did check that with our attorneys, and the board can confirm that. Sections 3 and 4 deal with the effective date. The retroactivity section, as Senator Von Imhoff mentioned, does go back to when that faulty language was put into place. And the reason for that is because it has been interpreted in different ways. This would allow consistency for the application of the statute throughout when it was initially put in 2019. As we had stated before, there have been no issuances or revocations of master guide licenses during that time. So both the department and our legal team have told us they do not feel any difficulty with that retroactive effective date. And then, of course, the immediate effective date works with the retroactivity so that it goes into place as soon as the bill is signed. And that concludes my sectional, Mr. Chairman. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to field any questions on the bill construction.
Thank you, and Ms. Lucky. And before we dive deeper into questions, can I just ask Ms. Hofford online to address Representative Shragi's previous concern regarding the look-back date from 15 years to 5 years?
Yes, sir. Through the chair, putting myself on the record, this is Renee Hofford, the executive administrator for the Big Game Commercial Services Board. In response to Representative Shragi's question, the intent was to mirror the eligibility for licenses, which is Alaska Statute 0854.605. A person is not eligible to hold any class of guide license if they've been convicted of a state or federal hunting, guiding, or transportation services statute or regulation. And that is for, you know, if they were imprisoned for more than 5 days within the last 5 years, or if they had fines within the last 12, 36, or 16 months, and the fine goes from $2,000 to $5,000. And part of the requirements to apply for a master guide license is you have to have held a registered guide license for 15 of the last 20 years. So if the language mirrors that intent and the other language, no one would potentially be eligible to even apply for a master guide license if they've had a violation within the last 15 years. It would make it almost impossible for anyone to qualify for that master guide license.
Thank you, Ms. Hofford. Follow-up, Representative Froggy, if you'd like.
Yeah, thank you. And this might be best for the sponsor or maybe back to Ms. Hofford, but, I mean, is there any issue? So one of the requirements for the master guide license is you have to have held or been a registered guide for 15 of the last 20 years, but the look-back is only 5 years for any of those aforementioned or previously mentioned disqualifiers. I mean, I could envision a situation in which someone's a registered guide, takes a five-year break, and then applies to be a master guide, and the look-back doesn't even cover any time in which this individual is a registered guide. And so I'm just getting a little caught up on that requirement there with it only being 5 years. Would you like to speak to that at all?
And if I may, through the chair, this is Ms. Hofford. Yes, registered guides are only allowed to allow their license to lapse or be inactive for 4 years, and then they have to reapply. So if they put their license on hold, so to speak, they could only do so for 4 years, not the entire five that is required.
Thank you, and maybe just a follow-up comment.
Representative Shruggy.
Thank you, through the chair. So in either case, or in that case, it could potentially be a look back of only 1 year of active activity as a registered guide. I'm a huge supporter of the bill. I think it's great and provides a lot of accountability. I'm just getting caught up on this 5 year look back. I'm not sure that it's adequate. But I think I've expressed my concerns there. I would like to offer a conceptual amendment, but if there's other questions first, but I think I'd like to go to 10 years. I think that's a compromise between the 5 and the 15, and would cover at least active portion of the registered guides time guiding.
Thank you, Representative Shragi. Perhaps after we get through the discussion, we can work on amendments, conceptual amendments, et cetera.
I have a question.
Germane to his talking point?
No, separate.
Okay, I'll put you in queue. Representative Hannon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you to the sponsor. I was here in 2019 when we created this problem, so anxious to help you fix this. I have a concern about the threshold of the unsuspended fine of $1,500, and I think I want to hear from the board about, because frequently when I look at Southeast guides, one of the things is you've had violations multiple years, your final fine is less than $1,000, but we took your boat, we took your plane, we took your, you know, we took some assets worth much more than that, but the cash fine was less than $1,500. And I'm wanting to know whether I'm just reading particular cases when I'm looking somebody up, or whether that's common, and whether we would capture the rare bad actors, but the bad actors that are out there by putting that threshold at $1,500 unsuspended fine. So I think that's for Ms. Hofford.
Thank you, Representative Hannah. Ms. Hofford.
Yes, through the chair, Representative Hahn. When the board was looking at the language to propose something to correct it, they looked at a certain amount of actions, criminal actions that were taken against guides starting in 2011. And from 2011 to when they conducted this study in February of 2020, there were only six master guides that had had a disciplinary action resulting from a criminal action. And of those six, only two had anything even remotely close to the $1,500 that the board is recommending as an unsuspended fine. They worked with the Alaska Wildlife Troopers and the Department of Law to come up with that amount that, as far as anyone could tell, would meet the the offenses would be egregious enough to meet that threshold. But for anything more than that, I would need to do some more research and provide some more information to the committee.
Follow-up, Representative Hannah.
Thank you. Ms. Hofford, could you clarify when you say there were only two that came close? So they exceeded it? Everybody else exceeded it, or everybody was far under? Says I didn't have the reference point of close which way. And were those two that were found, were they far in excess? They were $10,000 fines, $5,000 fines, or and everybody else were $500 fines?
Through the chair, sorry about that. Yes, they had one that it was a $65,000 fine, $30,000 unsuspended. The other one was a $35,000 fine, and none of that was suspended.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hofford. Thank you, Representative Hannah. Would you like to add, Ms. Lucky?
Mr. Chairman, if I might, this might help for the committee's deliberation. Provided in your packet of materials, you can see the examples of all of the six disciplinary actions that are referred to by Ms. Hofford. If you look for the documents, there will be something that starts with the minutes of the Big Game Commercial Services Board. On the bottom footer, you'll see page numbers 1 through 9, and it's on page 9 of that document where it shows the master guide. And it'll be an Excel spreadsheet. Sorry for that noise. That
Excel
like
spreadsheet,
this.
Page 9.
Mm-hmm. And that shows all of the various disciplinary actions that Ms. Hofford was referring to.
And Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you very much for this opportunity, but I have another committee meeting that I must attend to.
Thank you, Senator Von Imhoff. Hopefully this bill survives the way it's drafted moving forward. But
Mr. Chairman, if the this is Senator Von Imhoff, if the conceptual amendment by Representative Schrage goes through for 10 years, I at first blush have no problem with that. If the folks online are okay with it, then I have no objections.
Thank you for clarifying that, Senator Von Imhoff. And Ms. Lucky, was there a line item that you were pointing us to?
Go to the end of that. Through the chair and for the committee, it's difficult because the line items restart for each category. But if you go through, it'll see page 9 of 9, and it's in the middle of the page. I drew a box around it for the Master Guide Outfitters, and there are 6 items. And you'll see item 1 shows a revocation, and that fine was $65,000 with $30,000 suspended. And section 4, or line item 4, shows the other revocation that was a $35,000 fine. And you'll see the other fines there range 200, 500, and 300, and on page line 3, you'll see kind of where the line was drawn. So that was initially a $2,000 fine, was suspended to $1,000, and you'll see there's no commensurate revocation for that. So the person had that initial $2,000 fine, was able to work with, and I'm sure Ms. Hofford has more details, but was able to work to get that fine reduced so that there was no impact. And I would point out, if I might, Mr. Chairman, I also provided for the committee's review the related statutes. These come directly out of the statute books, and it should be a page. It just says Senate Bill 134, related statutes, and it does show AS 0854605 eligibility for licenses, and that's where you can see that 5-year look-back period that Ms. Hofford was referring to. And our intent with the bill was to conform as much to current statute. As the committee recalls, the difficulty we had was that we put in new language. The way it was interpreted by the board and their attorneys was what brought us to this point. So our intent was to go with the board's recommendation and to mirror language in current statute as much as possible to minimize any additional unintended consequences based on how the language was interpreted.
Thank you, Ms. Lucky. With that, Representative Hannon, do you feel the need for follow-up?
No, my questions are answered. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, Representative Hopkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks, Ms. Lucky. Looking at that page you were just referencing, the Senate Bill 134 related statutes, 1A1, the person was in prison for more than 5 days within the previous 5 years. The language you're proposing in your bill does not have that 5-day imprisonment requirement. It's just a simple violation of those statutes, correct? Within the last 5 years.
Through the chair, Representative Hopkins, it would be a more than one day. So the intent was to have the master guides held to a higher standard. That was the intent that was expressed by the legislature. So if you look through the language of the bill, and if you give me one moment so I can make sure I have all of the line numbers correct. You'll see there on page 2 of the bill, lines 24 and 25, that's where we're adding the kind of the narrowing of the offenses for which a license can be revoked. And you'll see that the person would have to be in prison for more than one day or have an unsuspended fine of more than $1,500 imposed. And that would be after their court process.
Thank you.
No follow-up, Representative Hopkins?
No, I don't think so.
Thank you. Next, Representative Fields.
Thanks to the chair. I think for Ms. Lucky, what if there was one incident that had two violations which in aggregate exceeded the $1,500 fine, for example, in the registered guide outfitter violations? There's one unsworn falsification of hunt record, guide use area violation, in aggregate the fine is $2,500. If a master guide did that, it would exceed the threshold. Would an incident like that be covered in the bill, or is it, does it have to be one violation in excess of $1,500?
And Mr. Chairman, that actually would probably be a better question for Ms. Hofford.
Ms. Hofford, if you'd like.
Yes, through the chair. Those would be considered separate offenses because it would be a separate criminal act for each violation.
Okay, so.
Follow up, Representative Fields.
Thank you, Chairman Pakatak. So through the chair, Ms. Hofford, the way the bill is written, if you had an incident with multiple violations, each of which were under $1,500, that would not necessarily result in revocation. Is that right?
Yes and no, through the chair.
Clear as mud.
It would not trigger an automatic revocation, but during the course of due process, the board may choose to use their authority in revoke that license based on the multiple violations.
I see. And I guess this question is for the bill sponsor. Is this issue of an incident, which some might see as egregious but doesn't, but has multiple fines, each of which is below $1,500, is this something that's been discussed previously? And what's your view on whether automatic versus kind of discretionary is the right approach, or should it be $1,500 aggregate?
And through the chair, Representative Fields, our intent with this bill was to fix the problem, and I'll speak for the sponsor. When the sponsor, we asked the board as the regulators and the professionals in the field to give us the recommendation where they would draw that line. Our intent, again, was to not create a different set of statutes and regulations because that's what had gotten us into the trouble before. So our intent is to keep it as close to existing statutes so they can follow their precedent as possible. So I don't believe that it's a policy call that the Senate has made or the sponsor has made to say one versus multiple or aggregate, but it was our intent to have this be follow the current process for their disciplinary actions. And if I might put one thing on the record, again, the board does have, as Ms. Hofford had talked to, the ability to revoke, per their discretion, any license as a disciplinary action under this chapter. This would only be the very few times where the legislature felt an immediate revocation after a court case for violation of a criminal violation of their professional statutes was in order. So this does not at all limit or expand the abilities disciplinary actions under their existing statute.
Okay. Well, thank you for the explanation. I don't have a problem with it, just appreciate understanding it.
Thank you, Representative Fields and Ms. Lucky and Ms. Hofford. Representative Shruggy.
Yeah, I'm just curious, and you may have spoken to this already, and I might have just missed it, but these are shall requirements. Does the board have discretion? I mean, if they saw that there were a dozen violations of a minor nature, could the board decide not to issue that master guide title, or are they required to issue it unless one of these conditions has been met?
Through the chair, Representative Shragi, other than conforming to the shall revoke statutes, we are not changing the eligibility for master guide licenses, so that might be a better question for Ms. Hofford. But what I will say is that the board does have the ability to revoke for, as Representative Fields had talked about, a various amount of aggregate small violations. This bill does not touch on any of their disciplinary abilities. The only thing it would do is require a revocation without that long due process and appeals in the small instances where someone had already been convicted in a criminal court. That was the intent of the original bill, and that remains the intent of this bill. What this bill would do is clarify that what was meant by Senate Bill 43 in 2019 was not that it's all violations, including these tiny little violations. I firmly believe, after working with the department and the committee on this draft, that this is what the committee had intended and what the legislature had voted on when we put the bill forth, that it would only apply to if somebody was out there with a master guide license after being found guilty in a court of law, that the board would have the ability to immediately take away that master guide designation. But they would still have the ability to not offer a license under their existing eligibility statutes or revoke under their current disciplinary statutes.
Thank you. That satisfies my question.
Thank you. Further questions from committee members? Representative Rauscher.
Thank you.
And just for the record, Representative Rauscher joined us at 1:34, I think it was. 1:36.
1:36.
Yes.
Thank you. So basically you mentioned, through the chair, basically you mentioned due process. And let's take the most harsh offense. What does due process look like for those of us who have never ever had to go through it? Where does it start? What's the next step, and when does it end?
And through the chair, Representative Rauscher, I will happily say I have never had to go through it, and so my preference would be to have Renee as the representative of the body that does these things maybe talk a little bit about that due process.
Ms. Hofford.
Yes, through the chair, Representative Rauscher. So with the due process, sorry, I'm trying to think of the simplest way of explaining this. So in a criminal case, the Alaska Wildlife Troopers will notify the board that they have filed charges against this license holder and whatever the charges are. Our investigator will notify the license holder at that time that their license is under investigation, but the investigation will not actually start until the criminal proceedings have ended and the individual is found guilty, not guilty, whatever the case may be. And once that criminal proceeding is completed, then the board steps in and reviews the case, and a board member, reviewing board member, will work with the Department of Law and our investigator using past precedents to offer up a consent agreement or revocation, whatever our disciplinary matrix lists out as being the possible disciplinary actions for that particular offense.
Thank you, Ms. Hofford. Follow-up, Representative Rauscher.
So just going through the list, is there anything that constitutes jail time, or is it all probation?
Through the chair, that would all be criminal, done through the Alaska Wildlife Troopers. Our board does not have that kind of authority. Their license would be put on probation in most cases.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you. And Ms. Hofford, follow-up. So in the case that, because you specified that investigation from the board doesn't commence until adjudication in the criminal side of things is done, if they're found not convicted of the crime, does the board still conduct an investigation?
Yes, Mr. Chair. They would conduct an investigation to ensure that license holder did not violate any of their ethics, because we do have regulation listing out guide ethical practices, and they would want to ensure that guide did provide services in the most ethical means possible.
Thank you. And to speak to, I don't know if it's common practice, regulation, or statutory, is there anything that binds the board to conduct an investigation, whether somebody's found criminally convicted or not?
Mr. Chair, yes, the board is required to, or their investigators are required to investigate any complaint. And by the wildlife troopers notifying us of an investigation, that is a form of complaint. So we would have to do an investigation to determine that no violation of our statutes or regulations were done by that license holder.
Thank you, Ms. Hofford. Further questions, comments, concerns from the committee? Seeing or hearing none, Representative Froggy, are you still interested in offering a conceptual amendment?
I move conceptual amendment number one.
Thank you. And I'll object for purposes of discussion. Can you clarify what your conceptual amendment is, Representative Froggy?
Yes, through the chair. This is Representative Froggy. Page 2, line 6, delete 5 and replace with 10.
Thank you, Representative Froggy. And just for Representative Rauscher, I know you weren't here for when we had the original discussion on the potential for a conceptual amendment, but what it is it's the look back in which the board, how far they go to look back at potential convictions that would bar an applicant from becoming a master guide license holder. So the idea is that the five-year look back is in line with the regular guide license holding statute. And then Representative Froggy spoke to his feelings of it not being adequate, wishing to move to 10. Representative Froggy, if you'd like to clarify.
Yeah, just to quickly fill Representative Rauscher in and kind of my motivation for replacing 5 with 10 and extending that look-back period a little bit. One, while 5 is in line with the registered guide look-back, this is a much more prestigious title. I think comes with quite a lot of NCO reputation and recognizes your in the words of the sponsor in her opening statement, excellence over a long history. And 5 years gives me concern that it's not a long enough history. One, because I just don't think that 5 years is all that long of a period. And two, because on page one, you'll see that one of the requirements to be a master guide is that you've been a registered guide for at least 15 of the last 20 years. And that could allow for someone to have been a registered guide for 15 years or so and then go 3 or 4 years without having done any guiding, and for that look back period to only cover up to potentially a year of your activities. So I think 10 years, just make sure that we do ensure that excellence over a long history and ensure that there is enough activity over that time period to make that assessment.
Thank you, Representative Schrage. And I just put on the record that before Senator Von Imhoff left, she said that she feels it's a friendly amendment. I guess with the input from Ms. Hofford, can you speak to how you see this amendment being deployed?
Mr. Chair, to be honest with you, the board has not had a chance to discuss an option of 5 years over 10, and I'm not comfortable in speaking in their place on that.
Thank you very much, Ms. Hofford.
I'd be happy to reach out to them.
Thank you, Ms. Hofford. Representative Rauscher.
You asked my question.
Oh, thank you. Further debate on the amendment number one by Representative Froggy, Representative McKay.
Well, through the chair, I understand what my colleague from Anchorage is trying to accomplish, but if we pass this 10-year language, then we kind of neuter half of the bill. So I guess I just want to point that out here, that there's two parts, the 5 years and the $1,500. If we take away the 5 year, then we've basically thrown out half the bill. So I would oppose that. Thank you.
And just to clarify, Representative McKay, he's replacing it with a 10-year threshold, so he's not throwing out the 5-year look back in its entirety, his amendment. So, Representative Fields.
I don't understand that, but
Mr. Chairman, if all the main intent of the bill, and maybe I could ask through the chair, Ms. Lucky, for clarification, I thought the main intent of the bill was not to have automatic revocation for a minor violation. It didn't seem to me the major intent of the bill was a 5 versus a 15-year look back. Am I understanding that correctly, Ms. Lucky?
Through the chair, Representative Fields, that is correct. The part of the bill that is the main thrust of the bill would be that Section 2 language, the shall revoke. I believe that we would be neutral on the look back period. The only concern that the sponsor's office would have is that since the board has not looked at this and the whole point of the bill is to remedy unintended consequences of law that we passed as further interpreted by the board, our only concern would be since the board came up with this recommendation and Ms. Hofford can't illuminate us on whether or not the 10-year look back would be difficult, that would be our only caution. I don't believe that there's a problem with a policy of a 10-year versus a 5-year look back. Obviously, the initial legislation that was put in place in 2019 had a 15-year look back, and that was what the legislature had approved.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess to my colleagues,
okay with the 10-year.
Okay. Point on the left, I guess I'm not sure it neuters it maybe quite as much as he's concerned with, because you could still have a violation that wouldn't automatically take away someone's master guide permit. That said, don't have a super strong opinion on five versus 10, but I certainly understand where my colleague is coming from.
Representative Hannon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this is, the five-year is referenced twice in the bill. And so I'm wondering if the conceptual amendment offered by Representative Shraga, it appears both on lines, page 2, line 6, and then again on line 13. And my concern is that we would be consistent. So if we're using a five-year look back, it's a five-year look back in both circumstances. If it's a 10-year look back, it's a 10-year in both. The second, by my read, the second clause is looking at other jurisdictions 5 years preceding the application. So I think I just think it should be the consistent time frames, because we're trying to make sure that the board does not have more work to do. And again, Representative Rauscher and I were both here when we went through this bill, giving the board the authority to not have to do a separate investigation after a criminal conviction. When we gave them that shall, it was always these major cases that we were talking about. So fixing that so that the board understands we're not talking about a very minor, and you didn't seal the bear skull in the time frame that you had to have it sealed in. You sealed it on day 31 instead of day 30. That seems like a fairly minor infraction to lose your business over. But if you annually, regularly have violations, the board still has the authority to investigate that. But if you have a criminal conviction, we've set a threshold that it's an automatic. I'm good with that. I just want because those both, I think, are looking at the time frame, are looking at when the board has it in their authority. And I think it should be consistent between the two.
And I guess just the way I'm reading Representative Bannon, to do my lounge chair lawyering, a conviction, if you've had it within, if this amendment passes, if you had a conviction within the last 10 years, then you'll be revoked. But when we went into the fine details with Ms. Hofford about revocation, whether a conviction happened or not, I think that's where subsection 5 speaks to. You can have had it revoked with not have actually been convicted of something. So I'd say that it merits being two separate time frames just for that purpose. But Representative Shraga.
First a comment through the chair. So, and just for the committee's understanding, Section 1 deals with the issuance of a master guide license, whereas Section 2 is dealing with the revocation of the license. So my change on line 6 there would just deal with the issuance of a master guide license. To Representative Hannon's point, yes, my intention would be to change it to 10 years in both instances. My apologies for having to make a conceptual amendment. I did not recognize that we were moving this today, and so I didn't have my amendment prepared. But yes, my intention would be to have it be 10 years in both places, and happy to move a conceptual amendment to.
Actually, maybe you can remove your First Amendment and offer a Second Amendment that speaks to both lines.
Wonderful. If now is an appropriate time to do that, or maybe Representative Cronk.
Representative Cronk.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I would like to know the opinion of a few of these the master guides, like Wayne Kubot and others that sent in testimony of what they would feel like if just with that time change.
Thank you, Representative Cronk. Representative Rocher.
Yeah, thank you, through the chair. I agree with Representative Cronk in a lot of regards. I also, without understanding the administration's position, without understanding the board's position, without understanding anybody's position on this, and being given it right here, an amendment to see for the first time in the last 3 minutes, it's going to be hard for me to say yes. No offense to the maker. I just want you to know I probably need a little bit more information to be able to make an educated vote. So if I vote no, I apologize.
Thank you, Representative Rauscher. And Ms. Hofford, can you kind of speak to the discussion that we're having here? And maybe even offer a little insight on potential turnaround time to have a discussion with the board as far as these timelines, because we can recess until tomorrow and take this up again.
Mr. Chair, I would be happy to reach out to my two registered guides that are currently on the board and, of course, the other board members through an email. The problem is it is spring bear season, and I am not aware if they're back in from the field yet or not.
Okay, understood. With that, Representative Shragi.
Yeah, withdraw conceptual amendment number one and move conceptual amendment number two.
And I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Conceptual amendment number two through the chair, this is Representative Shragi, would on page two, line six, replace five with 10, and on page two, line 13, replace five with 10, and absolutely understand the concern of my fellow committee members. I would just note that, one, to be a master guide, I think master really comes with some heavy implications, and I think we want to ensure that our master guides are upholding the highest standards of their profession, of their trade, and that prior to this this bill by the bill sponsor, the standard was 15 years. And so my hope is certainly not to muck things up, but I think that this just walks back that 15 years to something that is a little less rigorous, but still upholds that those strong requirements of a master guide.
Thank you, Representative Shrug. Representative Hopkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Lucky, as the representative for the sponsor's office, do you still feel that you're, that Senator Von Imhoff would have a similar opinion, that it's okay with her in terms of the bill for this amendment as well as in the one previously?
And through the chair, Representative Hopkins, the concern, as far as a policy concern by the sponsor of the legislation, I do not feel there would be any policy concern. The concern has always been how it would work within the board's existing statute and process. And what I might point out is the board did discuss the 15 years and the 5 years. I'm not sure exactly what that discussion was, but I know that that was a point that they did discuss before they made the recommendation, and we could try to find out. The difficulty with having, as you noticed, there was no public comment either, and that's because most of the guides are out in the field. The only other caution I would have is when we do statutory construction, we do have to worry about when you have one thing that might conflict with another. And so I would point the committee to the related statutes I had provided under the Big Game Guides and Transporters, eligibility for licensure. Again, this is licensure for anybody to get licensed under this chapter, including the registered guide license and the master guide license. They would have to meet these base standards. In subsection A2, it does say that the same kind of language, the person's right to obtain or exercise the privileges granted by hunting, guiding, outfitting, or transportation services is suspended or revoked in this state or another state in Canada. So currently they would not be eligible to get a license if that had happened, if that had been revoked. They also would not be able to hold a license, which means that there was there's basically a shall revoke for any type of license under this chapter if the revocation of rights in another jurisdiction would happen after they were allowed to get their license under this chapter. So I feel that my concern would just be that there's a conflict, and without having the board be able to ensure that there's no conflict with just that second part of the amendment, because there's a five-year look back for this particular section, but then there's already a standard that a license shall not be given. Because the master guide has to have been a registered guide in good standing for the 10 years previous, the assumption would be if they were revoked somewhere else, they would summarily be revoked under Alaska statute under AS 0854605. So that's all I would say is I'm not an attorney. I just play one on TV, and that would be the only caution there is I know that the sponsor's intent is to have it not conflict with current underlying statute, and this is why in the Senate we did not make any changes to what the board had recommended, which is in the bill. You are an independent deliberative body, and I just add that as a just background. But I do not believe there's any policy problems with that. My concern would be that we pass yet another bill that then runs into a problem when the regulation lawyers take a look at it and we come back with Senate bill whatever number next year trying to fix that particular instance. I personally don't see a problem with a 10-year look back for the eligibility section, but I would be concerned with the conceptual amendment to the amendment or conceptual amendment number two, however you want to look at it, just because that would mean that that language would be in three different places of the statute with varying numbers.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lucky. Representative Shragi.
For any fans hoping to catch her on TV, that's channel 18 for gavel to gavel. I would just note that on line 13, there already does seem to be a conflict with the existing statutes, as you just outlined, that in A2, there is no look-back period. No time frame there. It just says if the person has had a suspended or revoked license, then they're not eligible. So it seems to me that that conflict already exists, and if we're going to pass this bill and have that conflict, it wouldn't make much of a difference whether it's 5 or 10 years. But again, I'm not a lawyer either, and just play one on TV, channel 18.
Representative Fields.
I'm comfortable with amendment 2, I guess. In the interest of, it seems like we're trying to position this bill to get passed across the House floor this year. So I might support just taking action on the amendment today, just in the interest of helping the bill sponsor, you know, maybe bring this issue to its conclusion.
Thank you. Representative Kronk or Rauscher? Rauscher first.
Oh. Okay, well, I probably am going to maintain an objection, but I think that knowing you have an amendment, you could probably offer someone in finance, and we can vet it first. Because I believe this doesn't have
a finance referral. Straight to rules.
Oh, it just went to finance, and it says resolute, and then it says finance. On mine.
Take a brief at ease.
George.
On the record, Representative Rauscher.
I think once we vet it before we go to the floor, we know a little more about it. That's what I'm going to stay with.
Thank you, Representative Rauscher. Representative Kronk.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I know some of the people involved here, and this was some of the language that they intended to have in here. So I'm going to stick with what we have in the original bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Kronk. Further discussion? On the amendment number 2. Seeing or hearing none, I'm going to take a brief at ease. Back on the record, further discussion on amendment number 2 to Senate Bill 134. Any further discussion? Seeing or hearing none, I will remove my objection. Is there further objection?
Object.
Further objection, would you like to speak to it?
Yes, I would. I just don't feel right now, without any public input of the people that are vested in this, without having a say, I'm going to support the amendment. Thank you.
You're going to oppose the amendment.
Huh?
You're going to oppose
the amendment. Yes, I'm opposing the amendment. Sorry. Did I say support? Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Objected and then support. Representative Rauscher.
And I already said I'd maintain my objection.
Oh, sorry. I didn't take that into consideration. With that, any further discussion on the objection to amendment number 2 to Senate Bill 134? Seeing or hearing none, Grace, can you please call a roll?
Representative McCain? Nay on amendment 2 or 3, whatever it is.
Representative Fields?
Yes.
No.
Representative Hopkins?
Yeah.
Representative Rauscher?
No.
Representative Hannon?
Yes.
Representative Gillum?
No.
Representative Schrage?
Yes.
Chair Petkovic?
No.
5 nays, 4 yays.
With 5 nays and 4 yays, amendment number 2 to Senate Bill 134 does not pass the committee. Back to the underlying piece of legislation. Is there further discussion? Representative McKay.
No, I'm waiting for her to. Sorry.
Let's see if nobody checks. We don't
have
to. We don't have to.
With that, Mr. Vice Chair Hopkins, look to the will of the committee.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 134, Work Order 32-LS0696-G, from committee with individual recommendations and attached statement of no fiscal impact.
And I'll object for final discussion. Anybody? Seeing or hearing none, I'll remove my objection. Is there further objection? Seeing or hearing none, Senate Bill 134 moves from committee. Ms. Lucky, if you'd like to say anything before we adjourn the meeting, you're more than welcome to.
Just thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for meeting today. I know we kind of extended your deadline, and we do appreciate the work on this very important bill for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lucky, and send our regards via the vote to Senator Von Imhoff. As clarified in the discussion, SB 134 heads to House Rules next. Hopefully see it on the floor in the next few days. And this is our last hearing of this session for the House Resources Committee. So it's been a wonderful time working with you all on the various issues that we have, whether we were fully conscious the whole time or not. We'll more than likely, during the special sessions, meet That's what I meant. In the interim, we'll more than likely meet on some of the topics that we've already brought up this session to further deliberate them. And I'd just like to extend my gratification to our wonderful committee aide who's helped me through this freshman process and navigating the various issues that a committee like Resources has to go through. Grace, thank you very much. Before I adjourn, I'll give I'm in the mood of giving free-for-alls for everybody. So, Representative Rauscher and then Hopkins.
Hey, I just want to thank you, Chairman Buckduck, for your work here. I think you did an exceptional job your first year as a legislator in this building. You've handled this committee very well. I appreciate the not only how you handled it, but the fact that you did it with professionalism, and I appreciate that. And I just wanted a chance to say that. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Rush. Representative Hopkins.
Representative Rush stole most of the words out of my mouth. I was just going to say you ran a fair, good committee, allowing for a good discussion and allowing us the time to offer a number of amendments, number of times, and especially as we went through the School of Mesa, certainly. Took the time to learn what the bills did, and I appreciate your work on that.
Likewise, Representative Huffins. Thank you. Representative Cronk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to thank you for running a great meeting, being my first year in committees. It's been great, and there's a lot of people that reached out to me and were very impressed with how the meetings have been ran during Resources. So just want to let you know that. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Cronk. Representative Hannon.
Thank you. I will echo those and also remind those of you who aren't from Southeast that when you return for special session 2 on August 2nd, the deer season will have opened here in Southeast on August 1st. So perhaps you should pack accordingly.
And the guys will still be gone.
Right on, Will. Without seeing further comments, I want to thank you guys because it's been a really good learning opportunity for me trying to field all the different debate and points of clarification and navigating Mason's rules, so I appreciate you guys testing my limit on that. With that, the committee is adjourned at 2:16 p.m., and we'll see you when we see you.